Left-wing Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum has a proposal to shield her country from Donald Trump's growing influence over Latin American politics. Changing the Constitution to bar dual nationals from running for president or governor of any Mexican state. A Mexican president is Mexican and does not represent another country, Sheinbaum said during her morning press conference on August 25. If adopted, her proposal would make Mexico's presidency qualifications in some respects more restrictive than those of the United States, where a president must be born in the country, but there is no explicit ban on dual citizenship. Sheinbaum's proposal marks the latest in a suite of changes that her critics deem authoritarian. In May, for example, Sheinbaum gave the National Electoral Institute, Mexico's highest electoral authority, the power to annul presidential elections deemed to have been influenced by foreign actors. But Sheinbaum argues the reforms are necessary to stave off the growing influence of the far right in Latin America, where now two heads of state, Colombia's Abelardo de la Espriella and Ecuador's Daniel Noboa, are also U.S. citizens. De la Espriella, the far-right Colombian president who received strong support from Trump during his campaign and took office in June, is a U.S. and Italian citizen and a registered member of the Republican Party. Noboa, who assumed office as Ecuador's president in 2023 at the age of 35, was born in Miami, Florida, and is the son of one of Ecuador's richest men. His father, Alvaro Noboa, also ran unsuccessfully for president 5 times. It's clear that Latin America has an ascendant right wing under U.S. influence, said Pamela K. Starr, a professor of political science and international relations at the University of Southern California. Morena, the party that Sheinbaum leads, genuinely seems to believe there's an international far-right movement that has taken over most of Latin America, and that efforts to weaken Mexico's left-wing political leadership come from Washington. How Mexican observers view Sheinbaum's protectionism, meanwhile, is something of a political Rorschach test. Those who trust her trust that her efforts are legitimate, that she's not trying to establish authoritarianism, Starr told The Intercept. Those who oppose her have the exact opposite read, that this is simply an extension of the Fourth Transformation's effort to recreate an authoritarian government in Mexico. The truth, obviously, is somewhere in between. The Fourth Transformation is the political project launched by former Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador, the founder of the Morena Party who swept to the presidency in 2018, promising to break with Mexico's political establishment, reduce inequality, and root out corruption. López Obrador cast his movement as a historic transformation of the country, and his successor, Sheinbaum, has pledged to protect it. Her strategy raises an uncomfortable question inside Mexico, whether measures designed to shield the country from foreign political influence could themselves be used to consolidate Morena's power. I don't think it is an absurd idea, said Damian Zepeda, the former president of Mexico's conservative party PAN, of Sheinbaum's proposed dual citizenship ban. But we cannot lose sight of the context of the authoritarian government we are living under. For Cynthia López Castro, a Morena senator, the initiative seems fundamental. The logic behind it is that someone who holds dual nationality has a legal bond with another state, López Castro said, while whoever holds the presidency can only represent the Mexican people. What is being done is protecting Mexico from leaders who would sell out their own country, said López Castro, who told The Intercept that the measure was discussed in Parliament this week. President Claudia Sheinbaum argues that dual nationality is incompatible with serving as president or governor, because these positions require exclusive representation. Sheinbaum's office did not respond to a request for comment. There are people within and around the U.S. administration who see Sheinbaum's government as hostile to American interests and are seeking to see Mexico governed by conservatives, Starr said. The irony, she added, is that the United States has never, literally never, had such good security cooperation from Mexico. The State Department and U.S. military are highly supportive of the Mexican president because of the level of security cooperation her government has provided Washington. There are two messages coming out of the United States, and Donald Trump just depends on what day it is, which side he apes in his rhetoric, Starr said. Framing Sheinbaum's proposal as an authoritarian measure, Zepeda, the conservative, also presented it as an attack on a critical target for the Trump administration: the rights of millions of Mexican immigrants. A great deal of progress has been made on the migration agenda to recognize the rights of our fellow Mexicans abroad, and this proposal would prevent anyone who was born in the United States because of their family's migration circumstances from aspiring to certain public offices, Zepeda said. It is a double narrative. On the one hand, we support migrants, and on the other, we restrict their rights in order to protect those in power. In Starr's view, while the U.S. president is clearly an influential force, he's inflating his own role in Latin American politics. There's no question that Trump thinks that he has created a conservative coalition in Latin America, and it supports him. He's right that it supports him, but he's not right that he created it, Starr said. Latin Americans are voting on Latin American concerns. It's even worse than we thought. What we're seeing right now from Donald Trump is a full-on authoritarian takeover of the U.S. government. This is not hyperbole. Court orders are being ignored. MAGA loyalists have been put in charge of the military and federal law enforcement agencies. The Department of Government Efficiency has stripped Congress of its power of the purse. News outlets that challenge Trump have been banished or put under investigation. Yet far too many are still covering Trump's assault on democracy like politics as usual, with flattering headlines describing Trump as unconventional, testing the boundaries, and aggressively flexing power. The Intercept has long covered authoritarian governments, billionaire oligarchs, and backsliding democracies around the world. We understand the challenge we face in Trump and the vital importance of press freedom in defending democracy. We're independent of corporate interests. Will you help us? It's been a devastating year for journalism, the worst in modern U.S. history. We have a president with utter contempt for truth, aggressively using the government's full powers to dismantle the free press. Corporate news outlets have cowered, becoming accessories in Trump's project to create a post-truth America. Right-wing billionaires have pounced, buying up media organizations and rebuilding the information environment to their liking. In this most perilous moment for democracy, The Intercept is fighting back. But to do so effectively, we need to grow. That's where you come in. Will you help us expand our reporting capacity in time to hit the ground running in 2026? We're independent of corporate interests. Will you help us? I'm Ben Mussig, The Intercept's editor-in-chief. It's been a devastating year for journalism, the worst in modern U.S. history. We have a president with utter contempt for truth, aggressively using the government's full powers to dismantle the free press. Corporate news outlets have cowered, becoming accessories in Trump's project to create a post-truth America. Right-wing billionaires have pounced, buying up media organizations and rebuilding the information environment to their liking. In this most perilous moment for democracy, The Intercept is fighting back. But to do so effectively, we need to grow. That's where you come in. Will you help us expand our reporting capacity in time to hit the ground running in 2026? We're independent of corporate interests. Will you help us? Latest stories. The Intercept briefing. 25 years after 9/11, Muslims are still politicians. Favorite scapegoat. Razana Ali on the rise of Islamophobia in America and the vague terrorism laws now being wielded against dissidents like the Prairieland protesters. Flock donations to local politicians, groups skyrocket as protests against AI cameras mount. Mayors and governors control many of Flock's contracts for its AI-powered surveillance cameras. It's donating to their associations. The war on immigrants. ICE gave new hires access to restricted info on Palantir app before they passed background checks. Palantir created Elite, a powerful new app for ICE to target immigrants. The feds never published a legally required privacy assessment for it.